men, brothers who have done just that. And one thing I can testify, and I stand before you on behalf of Coward Commission, on behalf of the Faith Promise Committee, and tell you that these two men have heard that call. They've heard God's Spirit speak to them. It's been confirmed through others, and they've been faithful to what God's called them to do over the past, well, three years at least. One of them almost 4 years. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to introduce Brian Brocklehurst and Michael Cady to you. They will be leaving soon, shortly. Comes quickly, guys, doesn't it? Seems like yesterday we were just thinking about this and planning it, but they're going to be going to Wanaco, Peru. God has called them to Wanaco, Peru to help Gary Tebbe and the work there to develop what God is doing there. So I don't know which one of you guys wants to go first, but come on, Brian. I just want to say just my personal testimony about Brian is that as a brother, I've seen him grow tremendously. He's just been faithful to what God's called him. You know, along the path of discipleship, he's obeyed, he's listened, he's learned, he's growing, and he's a testimony. And I think we can send him out with excitement to see what God's going to do. I'm reminded of what Leonard Ravenhill said, that you don't send people out because of their charisma or because of their power, but because of their character and purity. And I know that we're going to send Brian out with those two things. He's going to be faithful with what God's called him to do. Amen.
Good morning. I've been thinking about what to share, and I really didn't make no notes or nothing, but I just want to share, you know, what is a mission? The Lord has given me my own personal definition of a mission, and a mission to me is to go forth with a set purpose. And, as I think about a mission, I think about the military. When our military goes out on a mission, they go forth with a set purpose. They're not just going to sightsee or going to just look around. They're going to accomplish a goal that they've been sent out to do. And it's the same with our astronauts. When they go into outer space as on a mission, they go with a set purpose. And I believe that every born-again Christian, every person that has the Spirit of God living in them, that every morning when we wake up, that we have a set purpose, that we should wake up going out with a set purpose, whether it's locally or globally. The Lord has said, you know, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and that we need to pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest field. And, you know, the first time that I knew that the Lord was calling me into ministry, I was still in prison. I guess I'd been saved maybe 2 years, give or take. And I just come really under the understanding that for 20-something years, I lived on the streets of America, and I'd never heard the gospel. And I was like, man, how is that possible? After living as a Christian for a couple of years and knowing how many churches we have here in America, how is it possible that a 20-something-year-old kid had never heard that Jesus was the way to salvation? And, you know, that really put a burden in my heart and put a desire in my heart to begin to share the gospel with people. And it should be a burden in all of our hearts that we hold something as dear and as eternal as salvation. We hold it in our... The Lord says that he's given us the keys to the kingdom. And you know, so in prison, I began to share the gospel and things. And, you know, I'd never really figured that I would be called into foreign missions for a long time. But as I got out and as I had the privilege and opportunity to be at Calvary Commission, I began to go on short-term mission trips. And that's where the longing and the desire had got birthed in my heart on a short-term mission trip. I felt like when I was on the mission field serving in the kingdom of God, you know, working, whether it's digging a ditch or sharing a testimony or building a school or whatever, I felt, you know, I felt alive. I felt like I was doing what the Lord had called me to do. I felt like I received what my heart and my soul had longed for from the things of the world but never could find, serving in the kingdom of God. And you know, the Lord says that we are to go. He's commissioned all of us to go into all the nations, some locally, some globally, but all the nations. That's America. That's the schools. If you're still in school, you know, your mission is your students there next to you that don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. But for me, the Lord has called me as Jacob and as Joe and him said to Peru. And I asked for prayers. We asked for prayers that y'all would be praying for us as we go. And we're going to begin to help build a school there. The Gary Tebbe, he's had his school, but he's been renting for some time, and he feels that it's better to invest his money by building a school that on a piece of property that's been donated. So we'll be building a school, and we'll be learning the language. That's a great benefit for the kingdom of God here too as well. But we also, you know, the Lord says that he's given us a testimony, he's given us a word, And we don't know exactly what the evangelism will look like on the streets there, or how the outreaches will be, if there will be some. But we know that we'll share what the Lord's done in our life wherever we go. Whether it's just walking back and forth to the store, we're going to share, we're going to invite, and we're going to be telling what the Lord's done in our life, how he's delivered us, and how he has the same hope for everybody.
The next brother's Michael Cady. And over the past, 6 months, I've seen, they've always been close, but we've just witnessed God really begin to knit these two young men together. I'm young too. We're just excited about what God's going to do. And so I wanted Michael to share as well. Brian's in his fourth year with Calvary, and Michael's in his third. So share your heart with us, Michael.
Well, good morning. I believe, for most of you that don't know, I spent 4 years in prison, and I believe that it was while I was in prison that I really began to, once I began to know about the things of God and know that God had a calling on my life, the Lord began to speak to me, and I believe that the Lord showed me something while I was in prison that yet hasn't been fulfilled, but I believe the Lord showed me that one day that I would be ministering to the persecuted church. And so with that, came the desire and the opportunity to pursue coming to Calvary Commission. And so I laid that out like a fleece before the Lord, and that if it was his will, that he would call me, that he would open the door, and he did. And so I've spent the last 3 years at Calvary Commission. They've been the greatest years of my life. I spent 24, 25 years lost before I come to know the Lord. And these have been the last 3 years have been the greatest years of my life. And like Brian said, the short-term mission trips, the experience that you get, just the opportunity to go and see a different culture, just to see a different group of the body of Christ all over the world. Knowing that everywhere that you go, that there's somebody that's lost. There's somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And there's two teachings that really impacted my life and impacted my whole view on my life in general is one of our classes, Perspectives. And the first paper that I wrote was Why Missions Exist. And it says that why missions exist because worship doesn't. And worship is something that, it's a great part of my life. There's nothing that I enjoy more than being at the feet of Jesus. There's nothing more, nothing greater that I desire that God has given me a talent. I love to sing to the Lord. I love just to be in his presence. And to know that there are people that were just like me, they're living and breathing, they're just existing, and they don't have a personal relationship with the Father. And the Lord desires that these people be reconciled to him. The Lord desires their worship. He desires to have an intimate relationship with each and every person that's living and breathing on this earth. And so, the Lord had showed me that. And so I'm compelled that I know that I have a responsibility. And it all started in the book of Genesis in the 12th chapter when God called Abram and God called him out of his country. And Abram had a family that was idolatrous. And so many of us can identify with having an idolatrous family, and that the Lord has called us out, and that the Lord has given us a calling to go and to preach the gospel in all the nations. He said he gave him the promise that through him that all the families of the earth should be blessed. And that's our it's a privilege. And that's a purpose. It's what the Lord desires, that each and every one of us, that we shine the light, that we take this message of salvation to the ends of the earth. And so I believe that God has opened the door for us to go to Peru, and I believe personally that it's just the beginning. I believe that it's just a first steps in walking in obedience to what God wants to do in my life and through my life. And so I thank you guys this morning. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to, just on behalf of Joe and leadership and really all of us, And the scripture talked about with Paul with Timothy about laying his hands on him and not to neglect the gift and all these things. And oftentimes the laying on hands is as a witness to these individuals that when these guys go to the field, they're going to know that we are praying for them. They're going to know that they have our support. They're going to look back at this point and realize that we as a body, as a congregation, support and witness that God has called them and they're being faithful to what he's called to. And on behalf of that, the first thing I'd like to do is saying that Faith Promise has both, with this, the church has donated, given both of you $200 as kind of a first fruit offering for the trip. And we just believe that God's going to continue to give the increase. But at this point, I'd like to pray over them. You guys will pray with me. So, Father, I thank you for Brian. I thank you for Michael. And I ask you, Father, that as they take this step in obedience to you, it's a step of obedience, it's a step of trust, it's a step of faith. Father, with the laying on hands of the pastors and the elders team, I pray that they would know, have full confidence, Father, that when it gets difficult, when it gets tough to hear your voice, that they've been sent by you. Father, I thank you that you've called them. I thank you that you are raising up laborers, men and women who are faithful to your word, faithful to your spirit, faithful to walk in trust and obedience. They're willing. We ask that you would go before them. We know that you're doing a work there. We thank you that you've prepared the ground, that everything that they do would be pleasing to you because they're following your spirit. They're following what you tell them to do. We send them out with full confidence that you've called them and that they've prepared themselves. They're young men who've fled from youthful lust. They've been obedient. They've been faithful to what you've called them to do, and we just are excited that they're going to plant, they're going to water, and you will give the increase. To your name, to your glory, you deserve all the power, the honor, the praise, all of these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now. Okay, well, I hope that you are enjoying the banquet so far. It's not time to eat yet, but it won't be much longer. On behalf of the Faith Promise Committee, we want to say thank you for being here this morning and for the giving that you've done throughout this last year and the years. We've gone back many, many years now. I don't remember the exact year we started Faith Promise. I don't know. I lose track of time. But it's been many years, and many of you have been faithful through all those years to give in Faith Promise. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of the committee. I want to take a moment to, so you know who is on this committee, to recognize the committee members, which include I, myself, and my husband, Jody, who's upstairs with the children right now, Joe and Charlotte, if you would stand, David and Krista, she's in the nursery, Jacob and Naomi. And for several years, we've also had Don and Martha Christie on our committee. And I wish they were here this morning so we could recognize them, but they are unable to be here this morning. They're in Dallas. But they have been faithful on the committee and faithful in giving all these years. They have stepped down due to age and their schedule. And so they have stepped down from the committee. Still actively involved in Church of Living Hope, very active, but just in Church of Living Hope, but just feel like it's time to step down from the committee, and we understand that. So, but to all the committee members, thank you very much for your time and what you do. This morning, you've seen several visuals. You've seen, the financial visuals of and where the money has gone to. You've seen pictures, you've seen videos. And I'm just gonna add just one last thing to your visuals this morning. You know, I'm a children's pastor, and so I work with children a lot, not just in church, but even outside of church. And I just have to say, if there's one thing you learn from working with kids, you have to have visuals. You have to have illustrations. You have to have visuals or you lose them. Not that I think that you're all children and that I'm going to lose you, but it's just kind of who I am. It's kind of a habit. And so I brought some visuals with me this morning. In this bag, I have mustard seeds. Okay, if any of you, I have these things also on the table. If you're wondering what that little black stuff is laying around, okay, it's mustard seeds. So if you're wondering, what is that? It's not ants. It's not dead ants. It's mustard seed, okay? I also have a jar of yeast. There's also yeast scattered around. Those little tiny kind of beige-looking things, that's yeast, okay? I also have an apple, a loaf of bread, which you also have on your tables if you've noticed. And last but not least, I have some acorns, and there's some acorns out there. And so these are just a few things that I'm going to use this morning in my message as visuals. And you might look at those things, and let me ask you, what do you think all of those things have in common? If you've heard this message before, you can't answer, okay? Because some of you have probably heard this before, because we had a stars crowning not too long ago, and I used this theme. But what do all of these things have in common? Mm-hmm. They all start out with a small beginning. They all start out with a small beginning, but becomes large in the process of it all. The theme of our banquet today is great things grow from small beginnings. And so we're going to look at some of these things that start with small beginnings. We're going to start by reading Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And Jesus said, "How can we describe the kingdom of God? Or with what shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches, so that the birds of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Now, the central truth of this parable had to do with how things with small beginnings can have large and significant results. How great things from small beginnings can look small, okay, but have large and significant results. Significant results. Now, have you ever actually seen a mustard seed before today? I mean, look at how tiny that mustard seed is. A mustard seed is a great example of how great things grow from small beginnings. The mustard seed is so small and tiny that if I were to drop it, odds are I'd have a very hard time finding it because it's so tiny. Even though the mustard seed is one of the smallest of all seeds, when it is planted in the ground, it grows into a bush so large that a bird can perch inside of there or even build a nest inside of that bush. You know, in Palestine, the mustard plant grows to resemble a tree as high as 10 feet tall. And Jesus compares the mustard seed to the kingdom of God. Now, how is a mustard seed a picture of the kingdom of God? Well, if you think about it, when Jesus started his earthly ministry here on earth, he had no followers. It was him by himself. He didn't have one follower. The Bible tells us that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee one day, and he saw two fishermen. Their names were Peter and Andrew. And he said to them, "Come, follow me." And immediately those two fishermen went and followed Jesus. As they continued, as P- Peter and Andrew and Jesus continued on their way. They saw two more brothers who were also fishermen, and their names were James and John, and they were mending their nets. And Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me." And immediately, James and John followed. Now there's five. There's five. One by one, Jesus called his disciples until there were 12. Jesus sent out those 12, and they brought others to Jesus, and the kingdom of God continued to grow. From a very small beginning, the kingdom of God has grown and grown until it has spread over the entire earth. And it is still growing today. It hasn't stopped. And it's because of people like you and people like me and people like these missionaries that you've seen this morning. Because they have gone out and they've given of their time and you've given of your resources. And they've gone out, different missionaries, and made Jesus known throughout the earth. It's because of you, me, and those missionaries and others who go out and spend their time ministering to people and you giving of your resources that the kingdom of God continues to spread and grow. And I want to say thank you for your part in that. Whatever your part is, whether it is the minister ministering, the missionary sharing, the one giving of your finances, we just want to say thank you for your part. Now, the next thing we want to look at is the jar of yeast. I have a whole jar of yeast here. Yeast. Yeast is an interesting thing. If you bake or you've ever baked with yeast, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, yeast sometimes can be kind of scary because you don't know whether it's really going to work or not. In fact, if you mix it wrong, if you put the yeast in with the oil before you put some of the flour in there, you're going to have a mess. It's not going to work. And so yeast can be tricky. But if you take the water and you take the flour and the sugar and the salt, and you leave the yeast out, what do you get? Flat bread, maybe similar to a pancake, okay? But if you add a small amount of yeast and you mix it with the water and the flour and the sugar and the salt, it grows all through the mixture and gives us bread. It gives us bread. You see, the flour, the water, the sugar, the salt, it can't do that on its own. It won't work. If you left out the yeast, you'd have a pancake. You have to have the yeast. The yeast has an effect on everything. Matthew 13:33 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and fixed and mixed in with flour until it worked all through the dough." Yeast is just another example of how great things grow from small beginnings. Who would have thought a little package of yeast? And when you put the yeast in there, you don't need a lot. If you've baked with yeast, you know you don't need a lot. A teaspoon will do it. It doesn't take a lot of yeast. Great things grow from small beginnings. Next, we have an apple. Inside this apple, you have approximately 5 small seeds. If we took the seeds from the apple and planted them, what would you get? An apple tree. An apple tree. An apple tree can produce as many as 150 to 300 apples a year. 150 to 300 apples a year. And not only that, an apple tree produces for approximately 50 years. So if you do your math, That's a lot of apples. It's approximately 7,500 to 15,000 apples in its lifetime. In the tree's lifetime, it's going to produce 7,500 to 15,000 apples. It's just another example of a small beginning. A small beginning. Great things grow from small beginnings. Finally, we have an acorn. Inside here, we have a little seed. Okay, acorns are nuts that form and mature on an oak tree. We have one right out here in our front yard. Okay, it's an oak tree. Inside the acorn is a small seed tissue. And that if you planted, it would produce an oak tree. Oak trees live approximately 80 years. 80 years. And they produce thousands and thousands of acorns in its lifetime. They are a symbol. Oak trees are a symbol of strength and a symbol of endurance. Oak trees can grow to 100 feet tall and have the spread from leaf to leaf, from one side to the other, of 150 feet. And that's, once again, a small beginning. Great things grow from small beginnings. Now, if we look at 2 Kings, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he served the Lord and he honored the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a little oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him, and afterwards she shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left. They're all full.' And then the oil stopped pouring. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" Here we have just another great example from Scripture of a small beginning. This widow had nothing but a little oil. She even said, just a little oil. She even thought, just enough to make one more loaf of bread. But from that little bit of oil, God did something great. He performed a miracle for that lady. He performed a miracle for that widow woman who was about to lose her sons. He provided for her. Not only that, he equipped her. He equipped her with something small so that something great could eventually happen. He gave her a strategy that meant taking something little and turning it into a monumental step to proceed to pay off her debt. God equipped this woman with something little, gave her a strategy, she obeyed, and something great happened that day. You know, you think about that. It was a miracle. You had this small amount of oil. She just kept pouring. It just kept flowing. We don't know where the oil was coming. She was puzzled. The oil just kept coming. I mean, there was no explanation whatsoever for what was going on that day. With a little bit of oil, she was pouring into each jar, and it just kept coming. And oil was worth something. And so she filled all those jars she had collected. When she was finished, it stopped. And then she went out and sold all that oil and was able to pay off all her debt. God equipped this woman with something little, gave her a strategy, she obeyed, and something great happened. And that is what Faith Promise does for the Church of Living Hope. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you all give to Faith Promise. Then God gives us a team from this local body, a strategy that means taking something little from what you gave and helping missionaries advance the kingdom of God. Not only is that huge, but to me, that's exciting. Could you get excited about that? I mean, I get excited about that. A small amount is given, whatever it may be, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to give. A small amount is given, but great things are done through it. Through your giving, great things are accomplished. Here at Church of Living Hope, our goal is to know God and to make him known. To know God and to make him known. We don't want people leaving here without knowing God. That's the main thing. We want people to know God. We hold classes for all ages on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We want to know God. We want you to know God. We want your children to know God. And then we want to make him known. We want him to make him known to the world, to those around us, to those in our community, to those in Tyler, Texas, and to those across on the other side of the world. We want to make him known. We send people out from this church to make Jesus known. And we can all play a part in making him known, whether you live right here in Tyler, Texas, or you live across on the other side of the world. You can live in such a way that people will see a difference in you. We can tell others about Jesus. We can get involved in our local church. And we can give to missionaries who are out there living in a foreign land, serving Jesus and serving people. You heard today the testimonies of Brian and of Michael, who are leaving for Peru very soon. We gave them an offering this morning. That offering came from those of you who have given faithfully this year to Faith Promise. It's because of you that we were able to give this offering. It's not because of the committee here. It's because of all of you who have helped us to raise this money, who have given in Faith Promise. Whatever you give grows. Whatever you give, it grows, and it enables us to give to all the missionaries who are out there serving on a regular basis. Great things grow from small beginnings. You see, when you give to missions, you are making God known. You are. When you give to missions, you are making God known. This church needs your help in making God known. Without you, we can't help support those going out on the mission field. Without support, these missionaries can't do what God has called them to do. Please consider giving to Faith Promise. 100% of what you give goes to missions. We don't take out a portion of it. We don't do that. 100% of what you give does go to missions. And through Faith Promise, you are making God known. I want to end with a scripture. Zechariah 4:10 states, "Who despises the day of small things?" Who despises the day of small things? What the people were doing in that book of Zechariah seemed unimportant to some. However, no work done, no amount given, without the blessing of God's Spirit is ever insignificant. But it has eternal value and it has importance. It has eternal value and it has importance. What you give will have eternal value. It will. It is significant and it does count and it will make a difference in people's lives. So please consider giving to Faith Promise, because great things do grow from small beginnings. Now, I just have to say, I know some of you are all dressed up in your attire, and that's so Africa. We have many nations represented here, China, India. Many nations are represented here today by what you're wearing. We even have the United States represented here and Texas represented here this morning, don't we? Woo! Well, my husband being the amazing man that he is, he likes to make things special. And he likes to set the tone. And so I have on, I don't have on any kind of special clothing except for what my husband made for me yesterday. I'm wearing it. I'm going to show it to you. But he made me a t-shirt with this great great picture on it. Great things grow from small beginnings. Thank you, David. You did a great job on that. Let's give David a hand. He's great. He did a good job. Anyway, my husband took that and made these t-shirts. Let me just show you. That's how I'm representing Faith Promise this morning. So anyway, thank you very much, and please consider helping in Faith Promise this morning. Thank you.
I would ask the ushers to begin passing out the Faith Promise certificates and cards that we have prepared, maybe for each couple. Adult, youth, as I began to kind of share a few scriptures here this morning that the Lord has placed on my heart. My very first ministry was basically passing out tracts on Tyler Square, and then was asked to be in charge of the youth of Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church. And I was inside the church there, in a little side room for youth, and I was getting ready to start the service. And I began to think about the church as a building and how that there we were inside there with these precious youth. We were trying to instruct them, but going down the loop right outside was car after car after car, people that were not in church. And I really believe it was prompted by the Holy Spirit. I said to the youth, pick up your chair. We're going outside by the highway and have our service. So we did it. I don't know what people driving by thought about that as they came and saw these kids out there sitting in chairs by the highway. But it spoke. It said, we've got to get this message out of the church and into the world. That's the purpose of the church. It's for missions. It's for edification and instruction and teaching and discipleships. But from the discipleship will come a mission. So hold those cards in your hand as I talk to you this morning. Scripture I want to start with is Psalm 72 and verse 8. Throughout the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, well, many times people call it the river. And the river of God is a powerful thing. The work of the Holy Spirit, powerful services, altar services, people around the altar, salvations, baptism, the Holy Spirit, all these things. The river is there. And yet, the scripture says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And you might notice that I did the background in green. From the river to the ends of the earth. And so our purpose in being filled with the Spirit, our purpose. It says you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that we are for this purpose, to be involved in missions. Isn't it exciting what one church has been able to do? What many people consider a mission church, an inner city church, that God has been able to do through this body of people through the years. I know it's at least 13 years that we've been doing this. I'd have to check. But we have been able to equip and to send forth. In Acts 8:26 is the story of Philip, the evangelist. 8:26 of Acts. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, is be obedient? The Lord said, do this. And what did he do? He obeyed. Arise, he said. And so he arose and went. And a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, we're to obey what the Holy Spirit tells us this morning. Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, very important. How can I unless someone guides me? You know, when Brian was talking about 20 years on the streets of the United States and no one telling him about the Lord, I thought, why wasn't I there? I was talking to somebody, I think, during that time about the Lord. But someone, some believer, should have obeyed the Lord and been out there. I know the Holy Spirit wanted Brian to hear the message and not go to prison. But you see, how can I unless someone guides me? So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. One of the big lies of the enemy is that people don't want what we have. That's why I love the word hope, because it lets people know that they can come in and there can be an acceptance, there can be a family, a relationship they can form with people. He asked Philip to come and sit with him, and we know how the rest of it went. Giving, that's what we're talking about this morning, is what can we do from our resources, or how can we create resources to give? Luke 12:48, when someone has been given much... You realize you've been given much. You go to the jungles of Peru and you see the way people live. You go to the neighborhoods of Tyler and you see how people live. You realize that we've been given much. Because I really believe that as we serve the Lord, He blesses us. He's promised that He would give us a life more abundantly and that we are blessed. I mean, we're in a warm place today. We have clothes on. We have food in the kitchen that's getting ready to be served. So we've been given much. But it says when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. That we have much, and so we are responsible to give what we have. And what happens when we give? Luke 6:38 says, give and you shall receive. Your gift will return to you in full. New Living Translation. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I could just personally share this morning that the Lord has been good to me. And that as we have given, as even a little boy given a dime on every dollar, as a little boy given, I remember the first time I was in business up the street and I went to a rally, something like this, and the Lord said to me, give $100. And I remember standing up to give to speed the light, to get the message out, to help the missionaries, $100. That was my first time I remember, you know, that type of giving. And the Lord has blessed without me expecting it. You don't give to get, but because you give, you do get. If you give to get, then you're in the wrong motive. But when you do give, God is going to reward. And in Scripture, it says that He will reward you. So let the Lord begin to speak to you about giving this year. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And so we have an example as these brothers, Brian and Michael, Michael and Brian, which way should we say it? It doesn't matter. That they're leaving Saturday. And I was with Michael yesterday at that graduation. I said, "You realize the culture shock you're getting ready to have? How different that is." They've both been there before, but it was only for about 10 days. But this way, they're looking at a year. And we may see them in 6 months as they get their visa renewed. But we're sending them out, and that's our part. These missionaries that you saw today, some of them, I'm sure, know about what's happening right now, and they're praying for you. They're praying that we can continue with our faith promise, because they are depending upon the Lord and those that He touches to share. And so we send out, and we're senders. And someone said it like this: we're either goers, senders, we're either the goers, the senders, or the disobedient. Ooh. Mark 16:15, and He said to them, "Go." Now, there's not any other way. I mean, all the languages you try to get that in, it means the same thing. It means go. I know that in my first car as a 15-year-old, not too long ago, that we would drag Broadway. That was the big thing. You know, gas was 19 cents a gallon or something like that. We would drag Broadway. But when you'd get up to a light, that you'd sit there, and if you wanted to drag the person next to you, you'd press on your accelerator, brudden, brudden, brudden. And they'd say, brudden, brudden, brudden. And you watch that light, and as soon as anything green came on, boom, and you'd see. You know, but you know, I got an example out of that. There's many people that they just want to make a lot of noise, but they don't ever want to put it down in the drive gear. Now, we didn't have a drive gear. We had standard shift, and you just put that thing, you know, and let that clutch out. But see, this whole idea of missions in the local church, well, it's that we will not. We refuse to sit here and make noise. We refuse to sit here, and we refuse to go and do things that aren't necessary, that spend money when it could be going to missions. I pick up pennies. I wash out the styrofoam cups. Whatever it takes to create money for missions, we're going to do it. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another great commission scripture is in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Faith promise. What is it? Well, it's not a loan. It's not a debt. It's a promise that God puts in your heart. You will not receive a bill that says you still owe so much. But somehow, as people obeyed the Lord last year, we were able to give $30,100 to these missionaries. What a blessing. And that's from our Faith Promise Fund, from the church fund itself. We have supported missionaries. We support 20, I believe, pastors in Cuba right from this church every month, and other missions areas that are not listed here from Faith Promise. But Faith Promise is what happens on this Faith Promise Sunday when we present and let the Lord speak to your heart about giving. And there's nothing too small, right, Ann? Do you know a dollar a week would be $52 a year? You know, it would be a dollar a month would be $12 at the end of the year. I believe that everyone can do something. Some can do more. But it's according to what the Lord says to you. Because I believe that if He puts something in your heart, He's going to help you to do it. I know that one man would fix up a car every year and sell it. And that would be his faith promise money. Another man would breed dogs or horses or something and sell and give to missions. And that we can create the money to give by saving. You can not buy those $2 drinks at the restaurant. You can say, water and lemon, please, like Joe and Charlotte do. And that we would be able, you know, you don't have to supersize it. I mean, we've got enough in our stomach already. And so we can do some things every week to create money for your faith promise. And you just say, Lord, I want to be a wise steward of everything that comes my way so that I would be able to fulfill this special commitment to you. You need to ask the Lord for what is His desire. What is His desire for this year? And it'll probably be, if it's going to be faith promise, it'll probably be larger than what you think you can do. It won't be the first thing that comes to your mind. It won't be like shopping for the best deal. It'll be, Lord, what could I do out of what you would give me, what you would create inside of me, that I could by faith say, I'm going to do it. We need to increase the 30,000. We'll see today how much is committed by faith to this coming year. But we need to increase that because we've got more things to do, more people to send, projects that we need to take on. And so it needs to be, even if you've already committed this year, don't say same thing. At least increase it by $12, you know, another dollar a month or $52, another dollar a week. But let's see what the Lord wants you to do and ask the Lord for His desire. On the card, you will see that it says amount monthly and amount yearly. And Ann said, if I do the math, we'll do some math and say, what does that mean? Maybe you can start with the year goal of giving, and then you can kind of divide it up by 12 and put it there, or start the other way if you want to, but put both figures there as the Lord would enable you to give. And so I want you to raise it up right now in your hand. It's a beautiful sight. And I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for $30,100 this year. I want to thank you, Lord, for faithful people that made that faith promise and even sacrificed in ways. But, Lord, I know that you helped them to do that. And, Lord, as we project into 2015 and all that you have in mind, Lord, we don't know what's all going to happen this year. But, Lord, we know that great things come from small beginnings, and that as we do what we can do, that you'll do what only you can do. If we'll do the natural, you do the supernatural. If we'll do the practical, you'll do the miraculous, God. And so we ask you, Lord, to get just right now, Holy Spirit, speak to people. Speak to their hearts right now, God, and that we would be able to see the increase. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fairest Lord Jesus,
I would like for you to go ahead and fill the card out. If you want to wait and pray more this week, we're going to be asking again for the next couple of Sundays and people that weren't here today. And we're going to have our children come down here in a minute. And then we're going to begin serving. Okay. that's a separate project, but the work to Cuba has been the times that we've gone there and the people that we've helped. But we do that too. Mm-hmm. Every penny goes, yes, uh-huh. It goes to, we support through this a church in Cuba also. Mm-hmm. You don't have a pen? We'll borrow one. We'll wait a few moments. We'll let the ushers come and pick them up. And Brother Jody is going to begin to post on there while we eat what we've done this morning in our faith promise goals for this year. It's a goal. It's a goal. Go ahead, ushers, and if you're not through yet, well, then you can take it to the sound booth, and we'll have the stack there ready. Thank you, Lord. Here's Ann.
Okay, we're going to eat while the ushers are getting ready to pick up all the faith promise cards. We're going to pray and prepare to start serving the meal. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. We do not want to take for granted all of your many blessings. For the food that we're about to partake of, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food. Thank you for those who worked and brought in food this morning. Thank you for those in the kitchen who have served in the kitchen for the last 2 hours preparing for this meal. Thank you for those who are filling out their cards even now. And thank you for those who are praying about what they're going to give. Lord, we just want to be thankful people, thankful for everything. We want to be grateful people, God, and not take things for granted. So we thank you for this food. We thank you for this time, and we ask that you would bless it, Lord, to the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, servers can go ahead and move to the back.